favorite guests to really break down a lot of times the numbers of the NFL. And it seems that every year now there's some big name player and they're in a contract stalemate. And here we are a week from opening night and Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys still don't have a contract. Joel Corey, former NFL agent, now analyst at CBS Sports, joins us once again. Joel, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Awesome. So you wrote an article and I really enjoyed it. It kind of breaks it down because sometimes when people hear about, okay, highest paid running back, like that can really be misleading because, you know, as an agent, is now guaranteed money that, like, when you're talking highest paid, would you look at guaranteed or would you include all of the potential bonuses and everything else like that? Like, what is it that you would rank the number one thing if I had a client to say, okay, you are legit now the highest paid at your position?
Well, being the highest paid is somewhat meaningless because the contracts aren't fully guaranteed. But still, the player likes the distinction. And as an agent, you can go sell that to uninformed or not truly educated parents and players. So it has some value from that standpoint. But really what you're looking at, if you care about substance over form, is what's fully guaranteed at signing, what is going to be guaranteed within the first 12 months or has early vesting, and then what the cash flow is early in the deal. Those are really more important than whether you're the highest paid player because the average salary is probably the least important of those things in terms of what is real for the player.
So you look at Ezekiel Elliott, and, you know, there's Todd Gurley, there's Le'Veon Bell, and David Johnson, just as far as contracts to look at. And I know, I think it was Ed Werner had reported that Dallas had an offer that was between Le'Veon Bell's 13.125 and then the 14.35 that Todd Gurley got. Is that a fair deal in your mind when you look at the talent level, maybe the age of Ezekiel Elliott compared to those two? Like, if you're the agent of Ezekiel Elliott, would you be comfortable a deal in that range?
Well, if I'm the agent for Ezekiel, the first thing I'm doing is I'm trying to hold Stephen Jones to what he said at the combine. And I don't know why he went on the record saying this, but he said that Ezekiel is right at the top of running backs in the league or players, and the deal's probably going to – Todd Gurley's probably a starting point. And then months later, he backtracks, so I'm going to hold his feet to the fire. You said you were going to make him the highest-paid guy, so let's do that. Now, personally, if I'm Dallas, I wouldn't be doing a deal with this guy anyway this year because I would have told him after the April incident in Vegas that any contract is not happening this year until you grow up.
Oh. You know what? It's an interesting angle because now, does he have 2 years left on his current deal?
Yeah, that doesn't matter in Dallas because okay. Tyron Smith got a deal of 2 years left. He was a first-round pick. So did Travis Frederick. He got a deal of 2 years left. So they shouldn't be they can't say they don't do that. They can't go, well, our precedent is we don't negotiate until you're in your contract year. No, you've done it with two other guys. And you made them the highest paid player at their position. Along with Zach Martin, you made him the highest paid guard last year when he was in his contract year. So if Ezekiel Elliott is the equal of those guys and what they do at their respective positions, then you make him the highest paid guy too. Now, if you were going to hold his feet to the fire because he acts like an idiot sometimes, that's a different story. But they haven't been willing to do that, so that goes out the window, and I don't think they can really bring that up as a penalty in negotiation because they've enabled him the whole time.
Joel Corey joins us. And Joel, being a former agent in those negotiations, were there teams that did use that to their advantage? Say, hey, you know what? This client, yeah, he's really good, but until he shows us as he's mature, we don't want to commit to him long term. Were there some organizations that stood by that?
Yeah, if you're in New England, they're not going to give you a contract if you're acting like an idiot. That's something I can't imagine Joe Banner when he was running the Eagles was going to give a guy a contract to reward negative behavior. So, yeah, that's something which some teams do. They'll hold players' feet to the fire and make them a little bit accountable before paying them. Because if you have a hard time with a guy before he gets big money, money only, in some people's minds, only amplifies problems.
Joel Corey joins us. Joel, where does Melvin Gordon fit into all of this? Should he be in the exact same conversation as Ezekiel Elliott?
No, it's a different scenario because Stephen Jones said Ezekiel Elliott is the straw that stirs the drink. He's the focal point of that offense. And with the Chargers, they were 4-0 last year without Melvin Gordon. They have pretty adequate replacements that they're able to get by without them. Austin Eckler is no slouch. obviously, you're better with Melvin Gordon than without him. The problem is there's a big drop-off from that top tier, which is $13 million, which is the demarcation line with David Johnson. It drops to $8.25 million with Devonta Freeman. So Gordon wants to be in that top tier. Really, he should be establishing a second tier in between those two numbers. But L.A. now, is a team which has played hardball with contracts historically. So I don't think this is going to work out for him in terms of getting that type of money. And then he said he wanted to be traded. This is where the Chargers get to be a little bit contradictory, because if they're going to trade him, they're going to ask for an arm and a leg, which suggests he should be worth that type of money. But then let's say you find a suitor, they inherit – Chargers' problems, because then he's still going to want to get paid at the top of the market, and then not only have you given up significant draft choice compensation, now you have to pay the guy. So he's going to be playing for the Chargers at some point this year, because he's not sitting out the whole year, because if he does that, his contract tolls and he's still playing under the fifth-year option in 2020.
Joel Corey joins us, a former NFL agent, now analyst at CBS Sports. And Joel, I know that the agent in theory works for the player, but the agent's job is to give really good advice. And you know, if you're Melvin Gordon's agent at this point, like when you look at the season and you're bang on, he's got to play now. He has to be on the roster in a game before Week 10 to ensure that this doesn't carry over to next year. Correct.
Well, we don't know exactly the week he needs to come back for tolling not to occur. What we do know is that when Joey Galloway held out into the middle of the season in 1999, the Seahawks filed a grievance to get his contract to toll. They lost, so the arbitrator didn't give a clear standard, but missing 9 weeks of the regular season was okay for your contract not to toll. So okay. After that, you're kind of going at your own risk.
So when people throw out that Week 10, they're incorrect? That's misleading?
Well, that Week 10 definitely applies to someone like Jadeveon Clowney, because if you have an unsigned tender, that's a date where you have to sign by in order to be able to play for the season. That's what the whole Week 10 was about with Le'Veon Bell last year, that if he didn't sign by then, he was prohibited from playing for the rest of the year.
Okay, so Gordon, we don't know. I'm assuming the Chargers know. I'm guessing Gordon's agent would know. Like, are you surprised that we don't have a set number for that?
No, we don't have a set number because the arbitrator didn't give a standard in the Joey Galloway decision. We just know that if you miss first 9 weeks, you're okay. If you go by the Joey Galloway precedent, that you can miss 9 weeks and your contract won't toll.
Okay.
But we don't know beyond that.
Okay. Speaking of Clowney, what advice would you give to him as an agent?
Well, if I was representing him, the two things I'd be asking for right now are, one, a clause where you can't stick a franchise tag on me next year, because you can, contrary to what a lot of people know, the one-year salary for a franchise tender is negotiable. It's past July 15, so he can't sign a long-term deal. That also applies to a trade situation. And also a no-trade clause, because let's say the Texans wouldn't give him the clause where they couldn't tag him again next year. One hasn't been given out since Albert Haynesworth with the Titans in 2008. He really doesn't want to relocate and play someplace else this year in what is essentially a contract year. He wants to play in a system that he is comfortable in. I'd ask for a no-trade clause as well. And for the Texans, this is a hard trade to do. He can't do a long-term deal. He could be a short-term rental. And there's a provision in the CBA. You can't even talk about a long-term deal. And there's drastic penalties that if you have some sort of oral agreement for franchise transition player for a future contract. So I've always thought logistically this was going to be a lot easier said than done, getting that trading to Jadeveon Clowney.
quickly in 30 seconds, Joel, is Ezekiel Elliott the easiest of these three deals do you see getting done in the next week?
Yeah, still, no matter what Jerry Jones is saying on the radio, I think he's there for week one. They went through this a generation ago with Emmitt Smith, and they should learn from the past history.
Joel, I love it. Always great to have you on. We'll talk to you again throughout the year. Thanks for your time.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.